Good afternoon. I'm Jamila Erickson here now with some more classical music for you. But first, we have the midday interview. Today, my guest is Justin Smith. I just am so excited to talk with him about Spamalot. Justin is with K4 Theater Arts, which is sort of a subsidiary of City Stage. Mm-hmm. And they're putting on Spamalot on the main stage of Thalian Hall. It is a wacko musical based on the film Monty Python and the Holy Grail. So, Justin, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you so much for having me, Jamila. This is great.
Now, how did this musical come about? Of course, first there was the film Monty Python and
right,
the Holy Grail.
Right, in the 70s, the film came about, Monty Python and the Holy Grail. The musical, essentially, I guess it was the early 2000s, they ended up getting together and decided to make a musical out of it. And it opened in London, then Broadway, and had a huge 4 or 5 year run, which is an eternity on Broadway.
Wow.
One of the most popular shows there. And then went on tour for a while. We actually had the rights last year to do it, and they took it away so they could go back out on tour. And then Vegas got it.
Wow.
And then we finally got it this year, and we're able to get it together in a couple months and make it work.
That's great. So, yeah. And now the musical was created by the guys that are in Monty Python and the Holy Grail with a little musical help.
Yes, that's right. The music was someone who actually did the book too, but the guys were involved with the original guys,
great.
The John Cleese's,
uh-huh.
All those
Eric
fellows
Idle
were
and Terry Gilliam,
right? Terry Gilliam, right? They all were involved with the book of it all. So,
good,
yeah,
wonderful. Yeah, if you love the film Monty Python and the Holy Grail, the musical does follow it.
Mm-hmm.
There's almost everything in there that's in the film.
Yeah, the script is almost verbatim Holy Grail, almost everything. There's a couple small little scenes that are missing, but nothing that anyone would miss. And I think Bright Side of Life might have been
Life of Brian,
probably.
Right.
So that was a little mismatch, but that was like the one song that they had. And then they made up the rest of the music, which of course is a complete spoof on musicals in general. All the words are so silly and exactly what you would expect from Monty Python and the ballads, the song that goes on too long, which is, you know, and it's just ridiculous words. And I think they use those words like for three other songs throughout.
They have the same exact
words with different music behind
right.
it. So.
And the song that goes like this,
yeah.
You know, and then there is a wonderful thing in the second act that is like a takeoff on Fiddler on the Roof.
Oh, yes.
And the guys put the bottles on their heads and I started screaming. I thought, oh my God, I just can't stand it.
Yes, it is spoof after spoof of Broadway musicals, which we theater, as a theater lover, I really, really enjoy. But knowing how seriously we take it sometimes, and this doesn't take it seriously at all.
Exactly. Although some of the characters have to play their role straight ahead, like King Arthur. Troy Rudisill,
mm-hmm.
he acts like he's in a great drama about the quest, you know, what it is like to be a knight of the round table, and all this chaos is erupting around him.
No question. And we talked about it. You know, the whole show is about finding the truth of the absurdity. If it's not truthful, it's just not going to be funny. And Troy is, in his role, lends itself, but Troy is a master at it. I mean, I've worked with him on different levels, but he is really just the line he crosses between being a complete buffoon and being like the most powerful man in the play is like is great. I mean, it's so perfect and spot on. You can't direct that.
Yeah.
It's just something you got to have.
And one of the things that's amazing about Troy is not only is a wonderful actor and has a terrific singing voice, but he designed the set, which is excellent.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
That's really cool. Troy has taken on the TD role and designer role for us this year, and it's been a pleasure to work with him. He's, and we have an unbelievable crew of three, believe
yes.
it or not, that builds all these sets that Troy designs, and they're just, it's been a really cool year to see how it's the first time we've ever done it. We've always hired someone else to do.
It's a great success in terms of the set and the. We have to talk about the costumes.
Yes, the costumes. We actually we rented the original London production, and through it all, it was, you know, they're you know, I think there's 210 costumes for 22 actors or some silly mess, and far more pieces than that. And we got the props from them, but essentially, I sent two of my guys, two of the three crew, to Maine. in the middle of a snowstorm in a triangle truck to pick these things up, because it was a last second. We just couldn't figure out how to build them. And there's so many gimmicks to the costume, not to mention how beautiful it's so necessary for them to be different and beautiful, and everyone's playing different characters. And, it was needed. So we just made that last second decision and sent them up to Maine, and off they went. And in fact, I think I told you just beforehand, but Troy's costume, the original King Arthur, was Tim Curry, and he's got Tim Curry written in his costume, which is really cool.
So there was a company in Maine that was using the London costumes.
They bought the London costumes. And they rent them now. They rent them all out.
That's
so they haven't had them in their possession for like a year and a half since it's come up. So.
Well, the costumes are amazing.
Thank you.
And you really feel like you're watching the movie. It's, it's movie quality costumes. And you think, wow, look at that.
It is.
So including huge mustaches for the French soldiers on top of the wall of the fort, And there are lines from them that stick in my mind, but I'm not going to say them on the radio. So,
All right.
If you're just joining us, I'm talking with Justin Smith, who's done an amazing job of directing Spamalot, a musical based on Monty Python and the Holy Grail, currently on stage at Thalian Hall on the main stage. It's a production of Cape Fear Theater Arts, City Stage. And there's so much more I want to talk about, Justin. I want to talk about your musical director, who's always so incredible, and then your first time working with this choreographer. So let's talk about Chiaki first.
Chiaki is, really the backbone of City Stage in more ways than one. But the fact that, her largest of many talents is the fact that she can pretty much take any piece of music almost sight on scene and make it this brilliant sounding, very clean sounding, and just you know what she does better than anyone is she just captures the emotion and the feel that makes a director not have to worry about any of it. After working with many, I think I probably worked with 5 different musical directors prior to Chiaki, she's a treasure.
Yeah, she's extraordinary, and the orchestra sounds just excellent.
Always. It's just amazing. It's amazing what she can do. And, they have 4 rehearsals before we open, 5 rehearsals. It's amazing.
Oh, my gosh. Now, talk about your choreographer.
First time, Judy Greenhut. She's in Wilmington Theater. She's relatively iconic as far as choreography. It's amazing our paths haven't crossed. We've tried a few times. But now, hopefully, I know we've fallen in love with her. I'm not sure if the feeling's mutual. But we'll have to see if she's moving forward. I hope she does as many. It's so difficult because you have so many different levels of talent. And we're not in New York, and that's probably the biggest difference. But what she does as well as anybody that I've ever seen is she just is able to get everyone on the same page, figure out the choreography to the perfect level to make it look really flawless and nice.
Yes.
And exciting.
There were people on stage that I don't think of as dancers, who I know are not dancers.
Right.
And they were keeping up, and they were getting their aura in there and looked just as good as everybody else. In fact, there's like a tap number. I thought, do all those people tap? And Judy and I talked about it afterwards, how to make people look like they're tap dancing when they aren't really.
It's amazing, and not everyone had the benefit of coconuts either. When you see the
if you have somebody hitting coconuts together to make it sound
like
you're
tapping,
it makes
it a little better. When you see the show, that's a little bit of an inside joke.
Jason Aycock, God bless him.
Oh, isn't he so great? Oh, he's so great in it. But she did an amazing job, and it was a huge. Huge part of the show. We worked so hard on it, and she was great.
And there are so many different dances, and each time the troupe of dancers comes out in different costumes, which are amazing, and they have no place in that time period. And you think, wait, where did all these Rio de Janeiro dance dance women come from? Like,
Why are there maracas on stage?
What's going on? So, you really, again, I just want to say that, if you love rampant silliness and just no holds barred, nothing is sacred.
No,
it's all talked about. Then definitely see this show. If you're the kind of person that likes serious theater and a deep message, and silliness and slapstick is not your cup of tea, run away.
The only thing profound about it is it's profoundly funny.
It is profoundly funny.
There's nothing else. There's supposed to be an internal message about finding the grail within yourself, but don't look too deep into that, please. It's really got very little to do with that.
Yeah, it is about the quest for the Holy Grail and what that could symbolize. But, Now,
loosely.
Loosely. It's very loose. Now, Justin, we only have like a minute and a half left, and I wanted to get into so much more, but I do want to just have you mention some of the cast members, some of the characters.
Yeah.
King Arthur
is Troy Rudisill, who is brilliant. Jason Aycock is playing Patsy. Lancelot, who we a big mystery is revealed in the second act about Lancelot, is played by Adam Poole, and he also plays the head French taunter. It's one of the few that we actually kept the doubling on. Prince Herbert is George Dombey, who's amazing. I guess he's the son that Lancelot goes to save.
Yes.
And then of course Robin the not so brave. Mm-hmm. Is played by Ashley Grantham to a perfect not braveness note.
Exactly.
He's really stellar in it.
And Galahad.
Galahad is Max Korn.
I had no idea he had that kind of comic timing.
He is absolutely brilliant and has a great hysterical scene and hysterical song in the first act. And Bill Piper is Bedivere.
Yes.
And it was great to get Bill on stage.
Okay, I think we've touched on the major. And you have to mention the Lady of the Lake.
The Lady of the Lake is Caitlin Becca. Gorgeous and just
amazing.
Beautiful and one of the funniest women on stage that you'll she's got perfect time to
yes time. Now there are only three shows left this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. That's each right. Show at 8 o'clock. Are there still tickets available?
There are tickets available. They're going fast. I know Friday and Saturday are going real fast, so please call ahead. Thursday there's probably some tickets, some good tickets still remaining.
Good.
I don't want to scare anyone away from any. I think we fit 440 there last Saturday, so we'll keep trying to squeeze you in if we can. So
You can get tickets by calling 632-2285, 632-2285, or go to thalianhall.com. Justin Smith, thanks so much for telling us about Spamalot.
Thank you so much for having me almost twice.
Yeah, almost twice. Yeah, I was expecting Justin last week, but it just didn't happen. And that's rare, but he was kind enough to come in today instead. Thanks, Justin.
Yes.
This is WHQR.